We're continuing in Hebrews chapter 11, and if you have a Bible in front of you, you'll see it there. We are looking at the list of men and women who walk by faith in the living God. Today we're going to see that faith is for good days and bad days. On July 30th, 1967, a 17-year-old woman dove into the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland, and she hadn't carefully checked the depth of the water, and she ended fracturing her vertebrae and is now quadriplegic. Johnny Erickson spent 2 years in rehabilitation. She was angry, depressed, suicidal, doubting. But at the end of those 2 years, she gave her broken body to Jesus. And she learned to paint with her teeth, and her artwork is being sold around the world. She has written more than 40 books. She starred in a movie about her life. She's made record albums. She's a global advocate for people with disabilities. She has a ministry called Johnny and Friends that helps people all around the world with disability. But Johnny Erickson Tada regularly receives letters saying, if you had more faith, God would get you out of that wheelchair. You don't have enough faith. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 32. Hebrews 11, 32. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, though commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Father in heaven, we thank you for Holy Scripture, and I pray for your help now that you, who gave us this amazing word, will now give us the Holy Spirit who inspired it, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts together will be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, verse 32 says that this guy is a lot like me. He wishes he had more time for the sermon. He doesn't have enough time to tell them about all the great heroes of faith. Sometimes I wish I could preach for 2 hours, and I'm sure you do too. But he is sensitive to their attention span. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 22, he says, I have written to you briefly. Imagine the 13 chapters of briefness. So I want to show you three things from this passage. First of all, there are good days. And you see that in verses 32 to 35. Here are six probably familiar names, great names in the stories of the Old Testament. First of all, Gideon, who had the victory over the Midianites, remember, with just 300 men who were armed with torches and lanterns covered with earthen jars. God threw the enemy into a panic. Barak united the tribes of Israel and had victory over Sisera and the Canaanite chariots. Samson was on a one-man war against the Philistines, and even in his death brought down the temple of the false gods. Jephthah, he led the tribes in battle against the Ammonites. Samuel, he was a judge, he was a prophet, he anointed the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. His mother, Hannah, remember her faith, prayed to God for a son and dedicated that son to the Lord. David, Israel's greatest king, the man after God's own heart. As a young man, David stood against Goliath and says, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." We know that David killed Goliath. In verse 33, you see mighty deeds of faith. Look at that. Conquered kingdoms. Think of Joshua. Think of David. Think of Solomon. Think of many who won battles. Enforced justice. David reigned, said 2 Samuel 8. David reigned over all Israel, and David administered justice and equity to all his people. And so there again in verse 33, we see they obtained promises. The saints saw the promises of God come true. Joshua, remember? The promise was the walls of Jericho would fall down. Just walk around and blow the trumpets. And he saw it happen. Rahab had the promise, remember? Your house will be protected. And indeed they were. All of Jericho died, but her family was saved. And we see in verse 33 and 34, three achievements. They stopped the mouth of lions. Remember David fought the lion? Remember Samson slew the lion? They quenched the power of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that great story? Remember when Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to worship the image, how they answered him in Daniel chapter 3? They said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, we'll not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up." That's our faith, isn't it? God is able to do whatever he wants to do, but whatever he does, we're serving him. And it says they escaped the edge of the sword. Think of I just read recently, I'm reading through Samuel, David running from Saul trying to kill him, David escaping the sword of Samuel. Verse 34, they were made strong out of weakness. Remember Samson's final prayer? Blinded, chained. They bring him in and he says, "God, give me one more ounce of strength." And with that, he destroyed the temple and all these people died. And in his death, he delivered those who were there as the enemies of the living God. Almost like the cross, Samuel dying like Jesus, bringing down the gates of hell. Jehoshaphat put foreign armies to flight. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles, hear these words. He stood in the assembly of Judah and he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you, O our God. Will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that's coming against us. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Isn't that a great prayer? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon a Levite in the midst of the assembly, and he spoke and said, "Listen, Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So verse 35, women received back their dead by resurrection. Remember that happened twice. Remember Elijah? He had that widow of Zarephath, and he restored her son to life. And then Elisha had a wealthy woman who was sort of a benefactor of his ministry, and her son died. And he restored her, the son, back to life. So, by faith, there were some great days. God's people received things from God that only God could do. These aren't the works of men. This is what God alone does. Those subtle, secret miracles of God, the power of God for those people who were trusting him. And that's what's lauded in the early verses of our text today. But there's a second point, and there are also bad days. And I would not be a faithful preacher if I just stopped on those good days. Many preachers do stop. Many say that every day is a miracle, every day is a blessing, every day is a hallelujah. And you should be able to say hallelujah, sometimes even through your tears. But not every day with faith in God is going to be amazingly wonderful. And we see that in verses 35 through 38. They trusted God, but they trusted God through tears and troubles and trials, and they were not always delivered out of them. Somehow, even in those troubles and tribulations, God was with them. Reminded me of Polycarp. You know that name? He was bishop of Smyrna, that city there now in modern-day Turkey. And in 155, he was arrested and ordered by the authorities to deny Christ and worship the image of Caesar. At that point, Polycarp, the bishop, was 86 years old, and they ordered him to deny Jesus. And he stood before the crowd and said, 86 years have I served him. He's done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king and my savior? So Polycarp in Smyrna was put to the stake and burned, and the fire raged hot. But you know what? For some amazing miracle of God, the fire didn't kill him. So what did they do? They lunged at him with knives and tore at him until he died. You see, this letter that we're in the midst of was written by people who thought it would be easier if we stopped following Jesus. It would be easier if we went back into the synagogue and found the safety of Roman protection. It would be easier not to go through these trials that are testing our faith, these fires that are burning away the dross and refining the gold. And so verse 35, we see that faith conquers sometimes through suffering and perseverance. Sometimes God is glorified to deliver us, but sometimes God will be glorified in our difficulties and even in our death. Jesus himself died in his early 30s. Martin Luther King was 39. Keith Green was 28. And yet they continue to impact lives. And so verse 35b, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life, like Polycarp. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. You know who that probably was? Isaiah. Imagine that. Most beautiful book in the Bible, I think, is Isaiah. Splendid poetry, majesty, sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Sounds like Jesus. Sounds like Jesus who says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. They were jeered and flogged and chained and imprisoned and destitute and destroyed. And the world says, you're not fit to live. But look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They were too good for the world. They were too good for the world. John says, everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So faith, you see, is more significant than our circumstances. Elijah was spared. King Ahab didn't kill him. But there were hundreds of other prophets that Ahab did kill. Jeremiah escaped the sword of King Jehoiakim, but Uriah was killed by him. Peter was set free from the prison, remember? But Herod killed James, the apostle. So sometimes faith isn't always the ticket out. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. He's telling us that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. John Knox, trained by Calvin in Geneva, then went home to Scotland, founded the Presbyterian Church. And Mary, Queen of Scots, staunch Roman Catholic, wanted nothing to do with Knox or his Reformation theology and tried many times to kill him. And one time John Knox says, one does not fear the Queen of Scotland when he's been on his knees before the King of Kings. And so the people of God found their strength not in their circumstances, but in their God. And the third point of this message is that not only are there good days and bad days, but there's also glory days. And there I'm pointing you forward, because you can see this chapter 11 covers a big chunk of Hebrew scripture. And he goes pretty fast. And I'm thinking one of the reasons why he's going pretty fast is he wants to get to chapter 12, which, by the way, when this was written, there was no chapter division. That came in Wycliffe's Bible in 1382. So the writer to the Hebrews just goes right from what is our chapter 11, verse 40, to our chapter 12, verse 1, where he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You see, the writer is building to this climax. Of course, we want to praise God for Abel and Noah and Abraham and Jephthah and all the people who followed God by faith. But he's hastily moving through Hebrew scripture to get to the great example of faith, Jesus Christ. He's the one who is not only the founder of our faith, but the perfecter of our faith, the Savior. All of those people in chapter 11 were saved by faith in Jesus, just like us. And that's why verse 39 of chapter 11 says, all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. You see, God doesn't have two people. God has one people, one saved ohana, huge ohana. You imagine that? You know that every year, more than 60 million people are becoming Christians around the world? Every year. So just think of the gazillions of people who are a part of the family of God, even now worshiping today, right now, around the world. So God is working, and God is saying, all these guys we've been reading about in chapter 11, good on them, hallelujah for what happened, but they didn't finish the race yet until we're united together in Christ. Look at chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So, if these Old Testament saints had not walked with God, we'd have had no nation of Israel. We'd have had no Messiah to come forth from the nation of Israel. But their faith was sustaining them while they were waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. Because there's one people of God. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and most of the Christians in Ephesus at that time were Gentiles. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, you, that is, you Gentile people in Ephesus, are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And so I would be untrue to Scripture if we didn't take a minute and admit that all the heroes we just praised on the good days had some problems. Remember that? Remember David? Wow, she's hot. I'm going to get her. And by the way, I'm going to kill her husband too. Remember Samson? Driven by lust most of the time. Remember Jephthah? God, if you give me the victory, I'm going to kill the first thing that comes out of my house. Uh-oh, my daughter. And he killed her. How's he in that list? Remember Barak? God says, be a judge, deliver the people. Barak says, I can't go unless Deborah goes with me. So Deborah says, I'm going to go, but you're going to get shamed because I'm going to win and you're the loser. And that's pretty much how it happened. Remember Gideon? God clearly says, do this. God says, well, I'm going to put something out, and if it's wet, like it's going to be what I'm supposed to do, and if it's, you know, dry, and then God says, okay, I'll do it, and he does it. And he says, you know, I'm not quite sure if that was really happening. So tonight, we're going to do it the other way. I'm going to flip it. And God says, okay. And you know, a lot of bad preachers say, that's a pretty good example of put out a fleece and test God. And that's ridiculous. Amen. He was told clearly, do it. It's just mercy that God says, I'll play your little game just to kick your butt into getting something done. So when we look at the heroes of faith, who do we see? broken, fallible, sinful, struggling people. And that's why verse 40, the key word is better. It's been our word through the whole book of Hebrews. Jesus is better. He's better covenant, better priesthood, better sacrifice, better forever, better hero than all of these other people. Sure, they had bright moments. Calvin says it well. A tiny spark of light led them, Hebrews 11, led them to heaven. But now the Son of Righteousness shines on us. What excuse shall we offer if we cling to this earth? In other words, if they had such a small glimmer, and we have the light of Christ, then we better get moving too. We better acknowledge the words of Isaac Watts, who says, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." You see, the promises of God are beyond what we can receive in this mortal life. Remember these words of Paul to the Corinthians? "No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." We can't even get a hold of an imagination of the greatness of the ultimate glory of God, this eternal weight of glory. But before the crown is a cross. And this is the story of the Bible, that they're holding on. The world, First John says, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Remember Jim Elliot, killed by Auca Indians back in 1956? Before that terrible day, he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And so what do we want to be known for? What are we going to be remembered for? Oh, I remember him. He had great hair. I remember him. He had some really cool Hawaiian shirts. I remember him. He was skinny once. I remember him. He had a great house. Wow, did you see that car? That's what a lot of people are really hoping to be remembered by. But all those useless things, those vain things, will perish. We would much rather, I hope, be united to Christ and be united to the knowledge that these amazing people of God in the Old Covenant is our family, and the amazing people of God in the New Covenant have come in by grace. And our perfection, our glory, our destiny, our hope, our purpose is that we're now connected to God in Christ in this big faith army of God, with some good days, hallelujah, but some pretty bad days too. But in all those things, they're glory days, they're days pointing to God. Let's have Johnny Erickson give the last word. She's been sitting in that wheelchair for 56 years, getting those letters pretty regularly that she doesn't have enough faith. And she says, "In the Christian faith, God really puts suffering front and center. He doesn't get squeamish about it. We can certainly ask to be healed. Anyone who takes the Bible seriously agrees that God hates suffering. Jesus spent most of his time relieving it. But when being healed becomes the goal I'm not letting go till I get what I want, it's a problem. If you don't start living your whole life, you'll be living your whole life jumping from one healing crusade to the next. If we can come up with a simple explanation, you did something wrong. There's something we think we can control. We assume the person must be bad. That's why she's in a wheelchair. But we must embrace that God can be found in the midst of pain. If I was granted physical healing back when I was 17, I wouldn't be in a ministry serving other people with disabilities around the world. I believe I have been healed, just not the way that others expect. Father, we're so glad to know your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that through good and bad days, he is our Emmanuel, and nothing will separate us from his love. And thank you, Lord, for this chapter of Hebrews that has lifted up some amazing miracles and seen breakthroughs and victories and people rising from the dead, and describing also destitute, abandoned, people cut in half, horrible things, but all of them are, the world is not worthy of them. And we want to join with that ohana. We want to be faithful right here in this community. There will be good days in Hawaii. Who doesn't have a good day in Hawaii? But sometimes we'll have bad days. And sometimes those bad days will be because we have loyally stood for Jesus Christ. And that's never popular. And though, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to give us boldness and faith and conviction and certainty that nothing will separate us from your love, and that the sufferings of this present world are not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed in us. O God, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.